It's a famous kasha which the Rashiva touched on this morning. But why is it in Parashat Kisiso that the Torah writes first about the Mishkan and then the Tzivui of Shabbos? While in this week's parashah, in Parashat Vayakhel, first you have Shabbos, the halachos of Shabbos come first, and then the Mishkan. So Beis Halevi explains with a mashal. There was somebody who was marrying off his son. A rich person marrying off his son. You can tell from the way he buys things for his son how much he loves his son. If it's somebody who really loves his son, he will say, what can I buy for you now? Exciting. He'll look for the luxuries first. First he'll get the Prada belt, then he'll get the Ferragamo shoes, then he'll get the Versace tie, he'll get the Hermes shirt. He won't get from an outlet in Brooks Brothers. He's not going to get a shirt like that. A nice shirt. And afterwards he'll get the things that necessities. They need a pair of socks as well. He needs some underwear as well. First you do the luxuries and then the necessities. But if the person doesn't love his son so much, but he has to make sure his son has the same as everybody else, otherwise he won't look good. He's a rich guy. He's also going to buy all the things in the end. But the order he'll buy is, okay, what do you need for the wedding? And he'll start buying the necessities first and then the luxuries. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us different types of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that are necessities. And there are mitzvahs that are luxuries. Shabbos is a mitzvah which is necessity. As the Velt says, more than the Yidden have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Yidden. Without Shabbos, there wouldn't be a Yiddishkeit at all. That is what makes us into Jews, our Shabbos. So Shabbos is a necessity. Mishkan is not a necessity. Klal Yisrael survived 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash. That's a luxury. So before the Chet HaEgel, in Parashat Kisiso, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the luxuries. He gave us the mitzvah of Mishkan. Then afterwards he gave us necessities. He gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos. Parashat Vayakhel is after the Chet HaEgel. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam first gives them the necessities, Shabbos, and then he gives them the luxuries, and then he gives them the halachos of the Mishkan. The Klei Yocher in this week's parasha says a different pshat. And this is also very meduik because he adds another point. There's a difference between the two that he ties in. That the Kisiso is the tzivui of Moshe to Klal Yisrael. Vayakhel is the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzivui Kisiso is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe what Klal Yisrael should do. And Vayakhel is the tzivui of Moshe to Klal Yisrael. So he says there are mitzvahs which show the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. Just like we see, for instance, that our tefillin, in it we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara tells us in the Tzun Rabbeinu Shalom, what does it say? Mikamcha Yisrael. We're always looking for the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at our mitzvahs. Shabbos is us looking to praise the Rabbeinu Shalom, that we recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom created the world in 6 days. It's a munah in the Rabbeinu Shalom. However, the Mishkan is the Rabbeinu Shalom showing how much he loves us. He's showing that he forgave the Chet HaEgel, his Master Shechina again amongst us. So before the Chet, so in Parashas Vayakhel was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Tzivui. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always looks for the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael first. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, first give them the Mishkan, what I'm going to do for them. I'm going to be Master Shechina on them. That comes, that's the Rabbeinu Shalom talking. So he says first, Klal Yisrael's greatness. And then afterwards he says, and what I want Klal Yisrael to do for me? Shabbos. This week's parasha is Moshe telling Klal Yisrael. When Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, first he looks for the Galus of the Rabbeinu Shalom. First we have to recognize there's a Shabbos as the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then afterwards he says, oh, there's also mitzvahs where the Rabbeinu Shalom does us a favor as well. When the Rabbeinu Shalom looks out for us too. So it all depends who's talking. That's Klei Yocher's Mahalach. There's a beautiful verse over here. Listen carefully. From, I think, from the Shinover Rebbe, was the son of the sons of Rav, Zivri Chaim. Listen carefully to the words of the Pasuk. Listen carefully to the words of the Pasuk. Kechu meyitchem truma l'Hashem. Take from yourselves a truma l'Hashem. Koil nadiv liboy, yuvi eho. Every nadiv leiv should bring. What does yuvi eho mean? What does yuvi eho mean?
He should
bring. Bring it. Yuvi eho, bring it. So what's it going on? The trumas Hashem. If it is going on the trumas Hashem, why the next words, Eis trumas Hashem? It already said bring it. If it wanted to say afterwards, Eis trumas Hashem, it should have said, Kol nadiv liboy, yavi should bring as trumas Hashem. Yuvi'el means bring it, which it said earlier, the trumal Hashem. So it doesn't need to repeat again, the trumal Hashem again. Kechu meitchem trumal Hashem, kol nadiv liboy, yuvi'el should bring it. So why does it say now, Eis trumas Hashem? So says the Shinova. Kechu meitchem trumal Hashem, kol nadiv liboy, yuvi'el should bring it, is going on, not the trumal Hashem, on the nadiv liboy, on his lave. Bring your lave with, when you give the truma. Bring your lave with it. Yuvi'er should bring it, your lave, eis trumas Hashem, with the trumas Hashem. But you have to give the trumas Hashem with your lave also. Which this fits very well. There's a beautiful vav from the Ksav Sefer in Parshas Pekudei, where Moshe, Vayvorech Moshe, Moshe gives a bracha to Klal Yisrael. Moshe's bracha is, Yirosen shetishra shchina b'masi yedeichem. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rest his shchina upon the work of your hands. So the Ksav Sefer asks, the Klai Yisrael were told, V'osu li mikdash, you should make for me a base of mikdash, make for me a mishkan, V'shachanti b'seicham, I will dwell among them. So the whole civil year is to build a mishkan for the Ribbono Shel'Olam to be Masrei Shechina. So why does Moshe have to give them a bracha now? Shetishrei Shechina ma'as yedeichem. That was the purpose of this, that the Ribbono Shel'Olam is going to rest this Shechina. Says the Ksav Sefer, it doesn't say over here, Moshe's bracha, Yi rotzon mulfanecho, may it be your will. The bracha over here wasn't that the Ribbono Shel Olam should rest his shechina. Yi rotzon, may it be your will, shetishra shechina. That you should have the tshuka, you should have that feeling that you want the shechina to rest in the Mishkan. It was a bracha for Klal Yisrael, because for the Mishkan to work, there has to be lev in it. There has to be a rotzon of Klal Yisrael as well. The Pasuk says, Vayoviu Hanoshim, Hanoshim Al Hanoshim. And the Targum, Yoinison, I think it says, that Al Hanoshim means that the women brought their jewelry while they were wearing it. It was Al Hanoshim. When they got there, they removed their jewelry and gave it for the Mishkan. Reb Moshe and his Sefer, Darash Moshe, asked the question, why does the Torah have to be that specific? Al Hanoshim, they're wearing it. Who cares? What is that teaching us that they're wearing the jewelry? So he explains, and I'll tell you a mice to explain it. Shreb Moshe doesn't bring this mice, it's a Hasidisha mice. The Baal Shem Tov came to Shul, and they were about to start Slichas. He said, you can't start yet. We have to wait for Yankel, the tailor, to come. So they're waiting and waiting. They don't understand it. Why would he be waiting? Yankel tells them, Oritz, for Yankel, the tailor. Finally, Yankel the tailor arrives, and they call it, the Baal Shem Tov calls him over, he asks him a question, talks to him a minute, and then they done Slichas. After Slichas, note I said after Slichas, they didn't go talk to him in the middle. After Slichas, they went over to Yankel, and they asked him, what did the Baal Shem Tov want from you? He said he heard that the Poritz asked me, the noble asked me today to go and buy a dog for him. And he wanted to know how much this dog cost. So I told him it was 400 rubles. So now they're even more intrigued. The Baal Shem Tov couldn't daven Slichas until he knew how much the Poritz paid for his dog. So afterwards, somebody went over to the Baal Shem Tov and he asked him, what's the pshat? So Baal Shem Tov explained. There was a Yid who was traveling and he had been working for a year making parnosa. A year's worth of parnosa, and now he's coming home at the end of the year. And he had all that year's wages with him. Everything he'd earned that year he was carrying. And he stopped off at an inn. And during the night, he was robbed. And all his parnosa of the year was taken. You can imagine what he felt. He wasn't a rich man. He was a poor man who'd lost everything. And he was going home to his wife and family to pay the bills now. And he gets up the next morning, he sees it stolen, he's crying, he's bawling. uncontrollably. And the whole inn hears the way he's crying. And they ask him what happened. And this poet, this noble, happened to be there in the inn. And the prophet asked him, what's bothering you so much? And he told him that they're going to be thrown out of their house and they're not going to have food to eat. And there's bills he has to pay that they owe money. And he's crying and crying. And this poet had a good heart. And he felt bad for the inn. So he said, how much was it? So he tells him it was 400 rubles. So he takes out 400 rubles and he gives it to him. For him, it was no big deal. Oh, bad, he gave it to him. So Baal Shem Tov says, there was a tremendous kitruk in Shemayim. Look how a goy does mitzvahs. He didn't do mitzvahs like that. So he says, I had to answer for Klal Yisrael. I heard today that the poris bought a dog for a lot of money. I wanted to know how much it was. And when I heard it was 400 rubles, I knew now we could daven. Because it showed that 400 rubles doesn't mean anything to him. Yes, he can give it to somebody, but it's not a lot of money. He'll spend on a pet as well. It doesn't have that chashivas. A yid does a mitzvah. He takes money from things that he could use for himself. And he takes it, he gives his whole nefesh over. He lacks from himself because of the money he's spending. A yid pays tuition. It's not easy to pay tuition. That's why, as one of the parents told me over here, they're paying thousands of dollars. They want to see their kid learning something for that money. They're moisa nefesh to pay that tuition here for you to be able to learn. And they have to cut back on other things. They have to cut back on vacations. They can support you over here. A yid does mitzvahs. He's giving from what things he could be using for something else. A yid gives tzedakah. Everything he does is giving his nefesh with. And that was an answer for Klal Yisrael. Reb Moshe says, when they came around collecting for the Mishkan, so women have jewelry. 15 years ago, there was very popular tricolor gold. It's a type of gold, three different colors. Today, it's out. So a woman who has tricolor gold, a necklace, she doesn't wear it today. So they come collecting for the Mishkan. She goes through a jewelry box. Oh, this isn't fashionable anymore, and this I don't need. And this I got from my grandmother. I'm never going to wear that. And you can give the jewelry you don't like. But that's not what they did. The women gave their favorite jewelry. The jewelry they constantly wore, that's what they gave for the Mishkan. They came there to give it. They wore it till the last minute they could wear it. They loved this jewelry. But they were willing to buy nefesh and give it for the Mishkan. The Pasuk is teaching us over here how a person should do a mitzvah. The beginning of the parasha, Rabbi Yaakov explains, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered Klal Yisrael. And what I'm telling you is not exactly how he says, but Ken how Rabbi Yaakov writes it. And Rashi tells him, L'machris Yom HaKippurim is the day after Yom Kippur, when he came down from the mountain. He says, when Klal Yisrael did the Chet Ha'Egel, we understand they did a terrible Chet Ben Adam Nabokim. Avodah Zarah. It's Ben Adam Nabokim. But he says it was much more than that. Because the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin says that Klal Yisrael made 12 golden calves. Each shaved made their own. What's the pshat? Because each one had their mahalach, how to serve their god. They weren't happy with the other ones. So they had to have 12 different gods. When Klal Yisrael came to Matan Torah, Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahor, Kish Echad B'Lev Echad, there was a tremendous achdus in Klal Yisrael. When they did the Egel, besides the destruction they were doing by serving Avodah Zarah, they also destroyed their achdus in Klal Yisrael as well. That was out the window also. Each washev has to have their own. Now that Moshe has been up and got a kapara for Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam has forgiven Klal Yisrael the Chet Ha'Egel. But there's more work to be done. That's the Ben Adam Namokim. But what about the Ben Adam Chaveroi? There's no more achdus in Klal Yisrael. So right when Moshe comes down, Vayakil Moshe es kol hadas bnei Yisrael. Moshe gathers them together. He once again bring the achdus back to Klal Yisrael again. There's a beautiful soprano, it's a very long soprano, but I'll just tell you the gist of one major part of it. The soprano writes that, how come, he writes this in Parshas Pekudei, the Bais Rishon was destroyed, Bais Sheni was destroyed, but the Mishkan was never destroyed. What was so special about the Mishkan that it didn't get destroyed? So he explains that the building of the Mishkan was done by Tzadikim, by Gedolim. It was done by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Bezalel, by Aliyov. Since it was built correctly, that is why it never got destroyed. While Bais Rishon Chir Melech Tzor was involved in Bayis Rishon. Kairish was involved in Bayis Sheni. Since Goyim were involved in the Binyan, that lost the Nitzchis of it. Something built correctly, it lasts forever. And that's why I think we give a brachos by somebody gets married, she be boina Bayis Nehman Bisrael. I always wondered, why should she be boina? She should have a Bayis Nehman. Why be boina? Because in order to have a Bayis Nehman, it has to be built correctly. You should be boina Bayis Nehman. You want it to be everlasting. You want to have nitzchis to it. It all depends on the building. Who builds it? How you build it? Have a good Shabbos.
The Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed.
No, the original Mishkan on the Midbar wasn't destroyed.